Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Genesis chapter 14, starting in verse 17, through chapter 15, ending in verse 21. In today's study, we'll see that Abraham, the father of faith, even struggled with faith of his own. Oftentimes, we can struggle with faith too. But God wants to remind us that even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave.
Understand, just because God's delays in your mind, He's delaying something, doesn't mean that He's denying you of something. It means that His timing is not ready yet. It means that your timing isn't aligned with His timing. And so He says to him, Lord, What is going on? I'm going to leave this earth. I have no son. Did I miss the beat here, Lord? Is it Eliezer? And Abraham said in verse 3, Behold, to me you have given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. You know, Lord, are you a liar? God, I mean, is this the case here? I mean, what am I working with? Are you lying to me? I mean, seriously, we can relate to Abraham, can't we? I mean, you study this guy's life, and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Abram said that. I can't believe Abram would go there. I thought he was the father of our faith. I can't believe he struggled this way. He was just a regular man like you and I, and he did. And these things are in here for our own admonition that the Lord would encourage us and remind us and show us his faithfulness even when we're faithless. God, what happened? Almost like he's mad at him. Almost like God spoke and he jumped down God's throat like, oh God, not now. I'm so not in the mood to hear from you. In the verse 4 it says, and this is cool to me because, again, we see that in verse 4 in the beginning it says, the word of the Lord, it's coming to Abram again. God's so gracious how he deals with us because even when we're in this state of disbelief or unbelief, even when we're in this state, we're even accusing God, pointing our finger at God, mad at God. Have you ever yelled at God before? Am I the only scumbag sinner that has, like, raised my voice to God? I did it yesterday. I'm like, God, are you serious? I'm sorry, God, you know, right away. Has anyone else ever done that? You just, God, are you serious right now? Is this a joke? And then it's like all of a sudden when you're in that moment, the Lord ministers to you and blesses you. He loves to bless us when we're in the most depraved, wicked state. And then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, man, I'm wretched. Oh, I feel so dirty, Lord. I'm so sorry for not believing you. I'm so sorry for not resting in you. I'm so sorry for not trusting you. I'm so sorry for walking by sight and not by faith. I'm so sorry for not believing in you, Lord. In these moments where you've had it, it's like all of a sudden where you're not spiritual. You're not on your face praying. You don't have the Bible open before you. You're not at church. You're mad at God. You're in your backyard and you're kicking the chlorine thing over. That was me this morning. And you're just ready to just scream. All of a sudden God speaks to you. God ministers to you. He shows up. And you're just humbled when you're in the presence of God. And the word of the Lord, it comes to him. And he says this in verse 4. This shall not be thy heir. But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Now look what God does in verse 5. He brought him forth abroad. He took Abram separate from everybody else. The place of solitude many times is the place of revelation. The place of solitude many times is the place where God cultivates our fellowship with him. When God pulls us away, when he takes us away from the crowd, when he takes us away from the TV, when he takes us away from all the technology that today has to offer, God says, separate yourself from it. Abram, would you get a grip? You're listening to everybody around you. You're focusing in on everything that you can see. You're not tuned in with my spirit. Come here. Look at this. I want to show you something. God does it. He'll call us away many times. Would you shut that TV off? Would you close that book? Would you get up early? I have something to show you. I need to speak to you. You're missing it because you're not looking in the right places, Abram. You're getting your eyes off of me. You're looking at the circumstances. You're weary. You've been battling. You've been fighting powerful, mighty kings. I need to speak to you. I need to refresh you. Come. Come away from everything else. Get away from the busyness of this life. Come with me and give me some time. And he says in verse 5, look now toward heaven. Tell me the stars, Abram. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Notice, he says, so shall thy seed be. Not your seeds. He doesn't say you're going to have all these, children. He says, so shall thy seed be. Singular. And in verse 6, it tells us that Abram believed in the Lord. Important that you pay attention to the verbs, to the usage of words here. That Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. This is why you have to study the Old and New Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. When you have those little boxes in the center of your Bible that give you cross references, those aren't just for decoration. You're supposed to use those and look those up because it takes you to other golden nuggets in the Word of God and it makes everything make sense. You use your cross references, you go to Galatians 3:16. Paul writing to these people, he said, now Abram and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. He says, and to your seed, who is Christ. Romans, Paul writing to those in Rome, he told them that the promised seed was Jesus Christ. He reveals to them that this seed that God revealed here before our eyes in Genesis chapter 15, when he took him and he showed him these stars and he described to him the seed, it was a description somehow of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how the Lord revealed it. I don't know what he did. I'm not going to confuse you and tell you the ways that some suggest. All I know is somehow here, the Lord allowed Abram to understand the gospel of Jesus that would come through his loins. Jesus Christ would be his seed. And he revealed this wonderful news to him, and we're told that he believed in the Lord. And that because of that, he was accounted righteousness. This is such an elementary topic. I can go in there and teach it to second and third graders, and they'd say, I already know it. But we need to be reminded of it. Our righteousness is in Jesus. Amen? Our righteousness is not in ourselves. So if you've messed up this week, if you've blown it this week, if you've lost your temper this week, if other people have pointed in your face and said, I can't believe you say you're a Christian. I can't believe you go to church the way you act, the way you talk, the way that you carry yourself. You're a terrible representation of Christ. Even if others do that, God's view is this, that your right onness with him is through his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. Because Abram believed in the seed, not because Abram was perfect, not because he was always a man of faith, not because he left Haran, not because he left Ur of Chaldees, not because he forsook his family, not because he didn't go where Lot went, but because he believed in the seed. The faith and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he looked forward to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, just like we look backward. You understand? And that is the only way that we can be righteous. That's the only way that we can be right on with the Father. And when we get saved and we hear this news the first time, we're elated, we're excited, we can't believe it. But for some reason, we lose concept of this. And as we go on with the Lord, we start thinking to ourselves that we have to be good people all the time. That's the only way that we can carry on this fellowship. That we only have right relationship with God is when we behave. When in all reality, it's because of his own sacrifice that we are made right on with the Father. And so Abram has this revelation, and he believed in it. And so the Lord, he reckoned him to be righteous. And he said unto him in verse 7, he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Abram, I didn't bring you out in vain. I didn't deliver you from that pagan background. Abraham, you weren't seeking me. I sought after you, and it wasn't in vain. I have a purpose for your life. And God would say that to every single discouraged, despondent heart that's here tonight. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, why am I even a Christian? Why do I even try to go on in my journey with the Lord anymore? You're looking back like the Hebrews were in the book of Hebrews, and you're saying, forget it. I've had it. I'm going back to my old ways. I don't get it anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Why did God even save me? God would say to you tonight, those of you who are discouraged and despondent, he would say this. He would say, I didn't deliver you in vain. I have a mighty high calling for your life. Just like he told Paul the apostle, I have set you apart from your mother's womb. I have a mighty plan for you. I want to use you powerfully for my glory. Now separate yourself from this world. Get a grip of yourself and keep your eyes on the prize. Abram, I've called you and I'm going to give you a land to inherit it. I didn't just bring you out for fun to have a heyday with you and to confuse you. I'm doing stuff. And Abram, I have to build your faith in me. I have to build your trust in me. And the only way to do this is to allow you to go through testing and trials and tribulation. And I know that I hate it, don't you? But God says, this is my methodology. It doesn't matter what you think. I know what works. I'm the potter. You're the clay. Be quiet. Let me do what I have to do to mold you and shape you into the image of my son. I'm doing something here. And just like many have said before God can teach us algebra, so to speak, he has to teach us multiplication, subtraction, addition. He can't bring us to the grounds of algebra before he teaches us those elementary things. And that's how it is in our spiritual walk to the Lord. Before he can bring you to higher places, to higher ground, to greater revelation, to greater knowledge, to greater insight of who he is, he's got to teach you first. They're stepping stones. He's got to bring you through certain things that are designed specifically for you. My trials won't be your trials, and your trials won't be my trials. They are custom designed by God himself for each individual, according to what he sees fit for the furtherance of his kingdom. Abram, I brought you out. There's a purpose. And in verse 8, he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Don't you relate to Abram? It's like, God, I get it. You keep telling me this, but how am I supposed to know? Can you do something? Can you give me a sign? Can you prove this? I mean, has anyone felt this way before where it's like, Lord, give me some sort of, you know, confirmation. Help me to know for certain that I'm hearing your voice, Lord. Do something so that I can know. And God in his graciousness says this in verse 9. He says, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these, and he divided them in the midst. And whenever there's the division in a sacrifice, it indicates that there was going to be the form of a covenant that was about to take place. He says, divide these animals. And at the end of verse 10, he says, but the birds, divide them not. And when the fowls came down, verse 11, upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And there's something to be said here. There's so much application in this chapter. As he sees these fowls coming down to interfere with this communion with God, Abram has to defend that sacrifice that he's making. He has to beat these fowls away. There's great application for you and I as the church as we're trying to go onward with the Lord. As we're trying to press on in our knowledge of who he is and receive greater revelation, as we're seeking to commune with him, we have to beat those dirty fowls down that would try to get between us and him. We have to beat those dirty fowls down, beat them away, swat them away, defend our stance in his grace so that we can keep going onward. Abram's like, I'm not letting anything interfere. I'm not letting anything get in the way. I'm not letting any bird touch my sacrifice. This is important to me. I'll fight for my life if I have to against these birds. I mean, you picture the scene here. This old man that's almost 100 years old, he has to get a goat. He has to get these animals. He's got to slay them. There's blood everywhere. It's probably a day-long process. He's got to catch these birds. How do you catch birds? You know, and he's got to tie him down. He's got to get all these animals and build an altar and do the things that God prescribed for him to do to worship him. He's probably exhausted. Then all of a sudden he's tested in his efforts to worship the Lord. The fowls start coming. It's just like you and I, the text messages start coming. You know what I'm saying? The messages start coming. The phone starts ringing. When you're trying to go forward with the Lord, then all of a sudden these attacks start coming into your life. The Lord is allowing it. Are you going to let these things be an interference, or are you going to swat them away? Are you going to beat them down? Are you going to do everything and anything that it takes to go further with Jesus Christ? A man of perseverance, Abram was. He wasn't joking around. These birds are probably like, this guy is nuts, you know, and he's swatting them with a stick every time they were trying to come by. Drove them away. And in verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And in verse 14, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And in verse 15 we read, and you shall go to thy fathers in peace, you shall be buried in a good old age. As we go on in our study of Abram, we'll see that he dies at 175 years old. He walked with God for 100 years. I pray that God gives you and I the grace to walk with him to the day that he calls us home. He walked with him till he was very old, almost 200 years old. But in the fourth generation, verse 16, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites, this is unbelievable to me, is not yet full. This will be my last application before I read these concluding verses. It's amazing to me that we see here that God says, I'm going to allow my people to go into bondage for 400 years, which is four generations. So to God, in this instance, a generation is 100 years. Interesting. 400 years I'm going to allow them to go into bondage because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Doesn't that blow you away? It's like God, not that he's so much winking at sin or not so much that he's allowing it because he's okay with it, but in the sense of his grace, his long-suffering, his mercy, he's saying, these people, I'm still giving opportunity to repent. I'm giving them 400 years before I bring judgment, and the judgment's going to come from you going into the land and kicking the snot out of them. And before I allow that to happen, I'm going to give them room to repent. I praise God that he's like that, but I also get mad at God that he's like that. As we talked about this a few weeks ago, there are many times it's like, Lord, would you just please rain down justice? I was telling the guys before we prayed tonight of an instance that just happened yesterday in Texas. This 52-year-old man broke into the 77-year-old lady's house, and he began to rape her. He beat her, and then he began to rape her. And as he was in the act of raping her, he died. All of a sudden, he just had a pain. They don't know what it was yet, and he just fell off of her, and he died. And I was automatically so excited and elated because I thought, Lord, you judged that man. And there's this excitement. You see, God, you act fast. But then you look at America. We're getting ready soon to vote on if we're going to allow gay marriage in this state to be legal. And you look at how depraved we've become as a nation. You look at the things that are all around us. You look at this Casey Anthony trial there in Florida. Obviously, the verdict hasn't been made yet. I don't know all the details of it. I only know what I see. But this little girl, however she died, died violently. They found duct tape on her skull. I mean, there was studies done on how they were going to kill her. It was a homicide. And you see pictures. Have you seen pictures of this girl was beautiful, these big brown eyes and beautiful little face, and you think, who can do that? And you hear it all the time. There's murders of children all the time. There's molestations of children and women all the time. There's rape all the time. There's shootings all the time. There's all these evil hatred crimes taking place daily. And you think, Lord, good is now being called evil, and evil is now being called good. The hearts of man's wickedness abound, the coldness of man's heart. God, how much longer are you going to tolerate it yet? And it's as though the Lord's saying, the world's iniquity is not yet full. I'm still desiring that more would come to me. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that make you fall in love with the Lord that much more tonight? That he loves man so much that he's allowing this crazy world to go on for the furtherance of his kingdom. He wants more souls to come to him. He wants more of the lost to come to him. He wants more of those who are blinded to be able to see, those who are ensnared and entrapped to the devil to be freed. God's heart is for man to know him. And he says here, this is going to happen because I want these people to know me. Their iniquity is not yet full. And in verse 17, it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. Those smoke, that burning smoke that went through there, these pieces, it represents the presence of God. It passed between the pieces. And in the same day, verse 18, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Notice, it was something that was done by God. The promises of God began and they ended with himself. And he said this in verse 18, unto your seed have I given. It's done. It's past tense. Count it over. I've given this land. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, to the river Euphrates, the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadamonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Amen? I mean, you see this? This is yours. It's done. It's over. It's been given to you. Man, the Lord says the same thing to the Christians tonight. As I invite the worship team to come up and get ready to lead us in this last song, the Lord says the same thing to you tonight. Your salvation, I am the victor, Jesus says. The battle is over. It belongs to the Lord. He has won it. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has conquered Satan. He says that I've given to you these promises. I've given to you this rich heritage. It's yours. Now claim it and go forward in the power of my might. Don't look at the giants that you have to come against. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed by the multitudes of armies that are against you. Don't be afraid of the king of Sodom himself. Because I, the king of righteousness and the king of peace, have your back. That is comforting, isn't it? That gives us great courage and ability to go forward with the Lord. It gives us the strength that we need to press on, to carry on, and to be faithful to him until the day that he calls us home. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride, hit the ground.